from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Not working, my mic. There it is.
I hear you. You
can hear me.
I hear you.
I had a great bit there, damn it. He said jukebox here. I said a tick. Talk hero. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. Yeah, your boys have made it big time. You know, I thought when we had our own beer brewed, the Tier 1 Pale Ale from Virgin, which released last Friday, I thought, well, this is it. This is as high as we can go. Now, Paulie has come in this morning to tell us that that we are TikTok stars right now.
Yeah.
And I am I'm feeling very, very good about that. And we'll make $3 off of it, I think.
Actually, we'll make zero.
$0 off zero. Of it, which is even better. So it's just for our personal edification.
I think you need like 1,000 followers before you can monetize.
Perfect. Well, go follow us on TikTok, please. ASAP.
And we had 500 yesterday before we posted a video. Now we're up to like, I don't know, over 700 followers.
Look at us, man. We are getting there.
Getting there. But yeah, posted a clip yesterday. If you hadn't seen it, it was about Nick Castellanos. We had the story in Don't Do This, and it was pretty innocuous. It was literally just Woods reading
a tweet.
A list of every time Nick Castellanos has homered after a historical event. I put it all together, packaged it up, put it in a 1-minute video, and then put it out on, you know, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, like all of it. And boy, did that catch on TikTok in particular.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's nice. It's weird being a TikTok star now, but we could talk about that in a minute. Let me introduce the show. I'm Woodsy, and that's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer and TikTok producer of the Ben and Woods program. I wouldn't even know where to log in to our TikTok. I promise you that. Oh. Cannot figure it out. I can't even figure out Instagram Reels yet. I've worked hard on a couple, and they always go to S, so I just bail on them. But Paulie's got that stuff down. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. You also have zero logins to really any of our stuff. You couldn't answer from the Ben and Woods X account.
Don't reach out to us via TikTok. Just a heads up.
Yeah, because we don't respond.
I open it up, post the video, and close it right back down.
Hi, I'd like to welcome to the program this morning. We've got a new chat member, and he goes by Unsaturated Fats. And he says, I'm my first time in the chat. Let's see how this goes. Well, welcome to the chat. You know, keep it clean. You don't have to keep it clean. Just keep it friendly.
Just be
you
nice. Know?
Yeah, you don't have to keep it clean. You can get filthy in the chat. I kind of like it. But just be nice. That's really all we ask. But, Carlos says Sammy's going to come after us for messing with his turf. Yeah. I mean, that's that is his domain, dude, TikTok. But it is weird. I woke up this morning. I wasn't a TikTok star, and now today I am, and I got to tell you, I feel a little bit
celebrate
different.
With some Tide Pods.
Exactly. Just eating Tide Pods for clout, but I feel different. This is what it's like.
You haven't introduced me yet.
So I did an interview. Yeah, oh, my God. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us.
Here. I mean,
sorry.
You know.
Sorry.
Just waiting for someone to say hello.
It's
you may speak now.
This is what happens when you become a TikTok star. You leave everybody behind.
5 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of some of the smaller memories.
And make room for the big ones.
Not that I wasn't already feeling a tiny bit insecure, because Paul edited an amazing video.
Yeah, you're not in it.
For TikTok. And I'm not in it. Paul found just a small clip of himself to stick in there, but there is no Ben at all.
He didn't say anything.
You can go back and watch. Because when your co-host is on a roll, you let him go. You let him go. I did the right thing.
That's just good radio.
I stood back, but I didn't appear in our viral TikTok video. So who's this Ben guy? Had no idea. Doesn't get introduced. Barely talks on the show. Not on any of the videos. I mean, I might as well go home at this point.
No, I think I'm going to need you here. Especially after no game last night. I'm going to go ahead and need you here.
I'll tell you what. You want to log in and edit it?
Yes.
Please. By all means.
From now on, just put like one still shot of his face. This is Ben, by the way.
It'll be the,
still shot.
The preview. Like the when you're looking at the grid, they're just all pictures of Ben.
Now, you did a great job on that video, man. I watched it a bunch.
It was very well
edited. I watched it a bunch myself. I was dying laughing, dude. It was really, really well done. Everyone have a decent enough day yesterday? Ben, Pauly?
It was okay. It was not great. I mean, no Padre game to look forward to. And they needed me to do what is really kind of a grunt job on television last night.
What is a grunt job on television?
I don't know. For me, it's... So we had Wale, our anchor, was out in the field for the 5, the 6, and the 7. But when you're out in the field, there's always the possibility of technical difficulties. So they need someone back in the studio just in case, you know, the feed goes down to take over anchoring. Ready, suited up, mic'd up, sitting at the anchor desk, you know, lights are on. And I had to do that for 2.5 hours, but there was never any technical difficulties. So I just sat there for 2.5 hours waiting for my big moment that never came.
You're kidding.
Someone has to do it. I bring my laptop. I just work out on the desk, essentially. But it's not the most fun part of the job. I mean, it's not difficult. You know, you're just sitting out there. But I'd rather be at my own desk and not under the hot television lights for 2.5 straight hours for no reason.
Also, like the feeling of the impending call.
Sure, it'll happen. I you know, after about 5 minutes, I just stop worrying about it. I go, they'll let me know if they need me.
You're in the bullpen, and you're you just keep throwing. He's throwing. He's just throwing for six
I'm
innings.
I'm not even throwing. I'm maybe like...
Doing the armbands?
Just swinging my arms around a little bit. That's about it. You know, clearing my throat every once in a while just in case.
That sucks so bad. TV is a little bit... And listen, I say this from a position of radio, which everyone has told me since the day I started is dead and dying. Now, we're doing better than we've ever done. So it's hard for me to wrap my head around the radio is dead thing. Our chat is, people are commenting, people are listening. That's great. And you live for that. TV, I feel, still does it a little bit weird, I think. I feel like there's a better way to streamline what it is that you do in this year of our Lord, 2024.
Well, we've been trying a little bit more. As other stations, I think, are doing less. We're trying to get more anchors and reporters out into the field.
That's excellent.
Do more local coverage. Like, really dive in where, you know, zig where other stations are zagging.
For sure.
But it does require a couple of compromises, like sometimes someone sitting there on the desk for a couple of hours.
Well, and they've
I do my part, you know.
They've made a lot of changes from when we first started. When we first started this program, I was legitimately worried. I would tell Paul all the time, he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
You cannot come home and get home in bed at 1 and then get up at 4:30 for this. You can't. That's not sustainable. It's not, you know, there are meth heads that can't do it. They're like, meth isn't even working anymore. It doesn't even do anything to me. But Ben is clean as a whistle. He doesn't do any stimulants or anything like that to keep him awake. Barely
caffeine.
Does coffee. Yeah, caffeine. But I would tell Paulie, I'll tell him, I'm like, we need to have a plan because he's going to quit because nobody works nights and mornings. Nobody for any extended length of time. But in the last couple of years when COVID hit, You've actually been able to record some stuff and then get home at a much more reasonable hour.
Yes, you know, it's definitely been better for me
and us as well. Us
I really
as
don't
well.
Quit anything. That's the thing. That's I'm not thing. A quitter.
They're gonna push you out.
I know.
That's the thing. Yeah.
It's more my worry than you should be not that worried about me quitting.
Well, I'm not now. I was then. Then when you were getting 3 hours of sleep, and I remember back then I had just met Ben, and it would be a Friday afternoon. And I would say, we're cash, we're exhausted, we're a new show, trying to get our footing under us. I'd go, so what do you got going the rest of the day? And his head would drop. And I'd be like, it's Friday, you don't have to work tonight. He's like, no. He's like, but Shelley wants to learn how to be a blacksmith, so we're going to blacksmithing classes after the show. And I would scream, remember, I would scream at him.
Sculpt our own bowling balls.
Yeah, dude, I would scream at him. I'd be like, you get your ass home and take a nap. Like, I would be yelling at him. So he's at some stable somewhere hammering horseshoes on a horse. He's like, well, this is super fun. I'd much rather be doing this than be asleep. I would die. Now it killed me.
We started as a show March of 2018. Ben, what did you say it was like that up until the pandemic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 2 years. A solid
dude.
2 years.
1 a.m. This cat would get home.
It was 1 a.m. and then up at... You know, well, we started at 6 for a while.
And then we went to 5.
Then we went to 5.
And you came in at 5:30.
Really, that was really hard. I came in about 5:25, 5:30. But that was the most brutal.
That was incredible.
Wow, it was hard.
It was absolutely incredible. I had a man, I will tell you, I don't like to brag, but I thought yesterday, potentially in my whole career of dadding, I think yesterday was my best day I ever had.
I saw Bo winning a Gold Glove Award at the Padres camp.
I take no credit for that.
Not at all.
That's all him. That's all him. He puts in the work. So all I do is roll the grounders.
What else did you do?
So got out of here. Listen to this. As far as a dad goes, right? Got out of here. I went straight to the gym. I got a nice, strong workout in. I went home. I meal prepped. I got everything laid out. I had a delicious, healthy meal. I prepped some stuff for later. Then I went to pick up Bo from camp. Then I took him to his brother's T-ball clinic and played ball with him and his buddy Jackson. And then from there, I took both kids home. I showered them, bathed them, got them in their pajamas. I cooked dinner. I cleaned the kitchen and then put both kids to bed. That's about as elite of a job as I can do. When I got in bed, I laid down to watch some baseball. I was like, how do single parents do this? Because if I had to do that every single day, I would die.
Where was Mrs. Nancaro Woods?
Mrs. Nancaro Woods,
process?
She had to work yesterday and then went with her mom. Her mom's looking at a new big van, like a Sprinter van.
Nice.
So they went to look at that. And so I was like, I got it, no problem. And I kind of like the challenge. I don't want that challenge 7 days a week, but I like the, hey, I need you to really, really crush it today. And I felt good, and I slept well. Like, it was a good dad day. I chalked that one up on the big board yesterday.
Nice.
Hammered a skin to the wall.
Once you really give up on the idea of a lot of me time, it's very freeing.
Yeah.
You just can, like, just dive in and get everything done and not worry about it anymore.
I would really like to order in because she's not here. I can just order. And then I go, no, I'm committed. I'm going to make them some healthy meals. I went out to the griddle, little shrimp, little chicken, some veggies, did a nice healthy meal. And I went to bed feeling very accomplished, very accomplished. Watched some baseball, had some Twitter arguments. You know, it was just a real solid day in the Woods household.
I think the hypnotism is working wonders on you.
You might be right.
Just a better person
since last week's hypnotist visit. My mind does feel a lot more clear, and I do feel a lot more at peace and a lot more confidence, which is great. So we'll see how long it lasts. What was his name? Dr. Ken?
Dr. Ken. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ken was awesome. I really enjoyed him and that experience in here. But yesterday was one of those days where I was like, I have beat my chest a little bit. And it was really sweet to see Bo win that. He was at Padres camp, actually, which was really cool. It was out at Stagecoach Park by La Costa Canyon. And I show up down there, and the coolest thing was, there were kids from teams that I've coached of Bo's that I hadn't seen in forever. And they all ran up to me and gave me a big hug. And I was talking to their dads. They're like, dude, they all want to play. We all want to keep, you know, the team together. And seeing these kids still out there playing baseball warmed my heart. And watching Bo, they did a deal to win the Gold Glove. you start with all these kids. And guy rips ground balls at it. If you bobble it or make a bad throw, you're out. Right. So it gets down to
very competitive for the year 2024.
It's so cool. So it gets down to Bo and his best friend Jackson are the last two remaining kids I coached. I was very proud. And Jackson booted one, Bo won. Everyone jumped, dogpiled him, and he was like, he was on cloud nine. So it was a really cool moment and really, really sweet, really, really sweet day.
So when you get that mug that says "World's Greatest Dad,"
I can drink out of it today.
Feel like
today.
You earned it today.
I got a sticker on my water jug.
Best dad.
Best dad. Look at that. It was a special, special day. The food is what made me the most happy because I get lazy with we have kids. You're like, what do you guys want? You want Chick-fil-A? You just order stuff, and I go, man, I got to make a more committed effort to try to feed them a little bit better. So I packed their lunches as well. Like, I was really pretty proud of myself.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Take today off.
No. Can't do it. That's the thing. I think about my mom when she was a single mom. I'm like, she didn't take any days off. None. There was never any days off. Paulie, you had a single mom too. There's no days off, dude.
No, I don't know how they do it.
Laundry's got to be done. People got to get fed. Bills got to be paid.
How do they do it?
How'd you get anywhere? Like, not everybody has a dad that gets off the air at 10 a.m. and can squire them around town. How do you do it?
I guess I walked.
Walked in road bikes.
I was able to
stuff.
Walk. It was
Bo's
a long walk.
Six. I'm not letting him walk anywhere. He rambled off last night at Taylor's clinic. I was like, the pedophiles over there. I'm like staring at him. Like, so I don't know how you do it, but all the single parents out there, my hat's off to you. You guys are incredible.
Tip my cap to you, Woods.
Thank you, sir.
Nicely done.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's get going. It is Tuesday morning. Padres resume their longest road trip of the season. We'll set the menu for what's coming up today, including Jesse Agler. A little different time since he's on the East Coast. We'll let you know all about it when we come back right after Kelly's first check of traffic. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
I don't want to add too much importance to just one series out of a 162-game season.
It's must-winning, though.
But feels like a pretty big one coming up for the San Diego Padres on their longest road trip of the year. 9 games, East Coast. Already took 2 of 3 in Cleveland. You still have 3 in Baltimore against another fantastic team coming up. But this is kind of the opportunity in the middle. 3 against the Washington Nationals. And we'll talk about the series coming up later today.
Them taking 2 out of 3 in Cleveland actually buys them a little bit of wiggle room against Washington. I'll be honest. When I looked at the schedule a couple of weeks ago, I saw a series loss in Cleveland, hopefully a series win in Washington, and a series loss in Baltimore. That's just looking at the numbers. So to be pleasantly surprised that you took 2 out of 3 in Cleveland...
Really only gets you...
Doesn't make this a must-win.
Really only gets you a game, though. You know? It only gets you kind of a game's wiggle room. If you thought we were going to go 1-2 against Cleveland, and, you know, again... 2 out of 3 against Washington would be fantastic. It's actually 2 out of 3 is kind of your bare minimum. You got to beat those guys. You do. But listen, one game at a time. You win tonight.
I mean, you already swept them in San Diego.
Yeah.
I think asking for another sweep, like a season series sweep, is a lot. You take 2 out of 3. I sign up for that right now.
Indeed.
But the reason why I say that, and you're right, Paulie. I mean, the season's not over if they lose this series to the Washington Nationals, but. With the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday, it feels like every game this week for a bunch of teams is kind of...
Make or break.
Yeah.
Yeah, truly.
It certainly shapes the direction and the conversations of the trade deadline.
That's my point, though. The fact that they won the series in Cleveland, had they lost that series, then if they lose this series, then you're like, are we sellers?
I don't think anything's going to make the Padres... They're going to turn the Padres into sellers, but... There's certainly a degree. Like, if the Padres win the next 6 games on this road trip, which I'm not expecting, but if they did, I could see where you justify a little more aggression at the trade deadline and going after somewhat of a bigger name and willing to deal a little bit more when it comes to the prospects. And if you go 2-4 on this rest of this road trip and you're just stuck there with every other team, you know, 9 teams fighting for 3 playoff spots... You're going, do we really want to commit anything beyond the bare minimum to pick up more players at the trade deadline when it might not make a huge difference for us? So that's why I feel like these games in particular just kind of steering the direction that the rest of the season might go.
Yeah, I mean, and it is interesting when you talk about having to get through the regular season, which is why, for me, the 162-game season it will always be king. You know, obviously. And it's why I laugh at Dodger fans sometimes when I'm like, bro, you took 100 games off of that. 100 games of having to manipulate your starters and your bullpen and the wear and tear and the travel and everything else that comes along with it. That's why it's such a grind of a season. You do feel, though, like if the playoffs started today and the Padres were in it, you look and you go, all right, I've got a healthy Waldron, a healthy King, and a healthy Cease. Let's ride. Let's absolutely ride. I feel like we are winning that first short series. Now, you get to the next series, yeah, you might have a problem in game 4. But you take your chances, man. They have a good team. They have a good team that's hungry. They have a good team that battles. They have a good team that can hit. They have a team that can run, that can play defense. Like, nobody wants this team in the first round if the playoffs started today, period. And I saw somebody tweet yesterday, if we really need to go out and get 2 starters and a bullpen piece, are we really a playoff team? My answer is yes, absolutely, because there's a ton of teams right now, luckily, that built up a really big cushion, and they're looking for 2 starters. They're looking for bullpen help. Yes, the answer is yes, yes, yes. What do you have in front of you? You have a team that has shown the ability to come back, a team that has shown the ability to create runs where there weren't any. Yes, they are. If you get in, they can absolutely do damage. So I think that you add 100% to this team.
Do you think they need 1 starter and 1 reliever? And then weren't we kind of told or led to believe at least that Yu Darvish would let AJ and company know?
Yeah.
Because if he says, like, hey, you know,
I'm out.
I'm looking like I could come back here in a couple of weeks. Then you don't, maybe don't need to go out and get that second starter.
I think,
but you need it regardless. Is he like? Would he be like the third starter if Darvish is like, I'm probably not coming back this year?
You know, I don't. There's no once you're when you're on the restricted list, he's under no obligation. I believe the report I heard, if I don't want to speak out of school here, but that yes, he would be in communication. He's not. He hasn't disappeared. I'm sure he's been in communication.
He's a grown up.
Yeah,
they're having somewhat regular communication. I promise you.
Yeah,
even
I guarantee
if it's just
you.
An email.
Sure.
He hasn't just fallen off the face of the planet.
Right. I'm sad to say, you know, whatever's going on, I won't be pitching this year. Does that mean they need to add a second starter to the mix? Or is that the third starter to the mix?
Probably a second.
I would think if you think Musgrove is coming back, you could probably get by, if you're lucky, with one more starter. Because then you still have Randy Vasquez as a sixth starter at that point. You could get by. If you get you back, then you've got some depth of riches. And maybe you doesn't even know. That's the thing. I don't think it's that you is just stringing them along. Right. He may not know if he can come back or not. And the Padres will have to just make their decisions based on the best information that they have. Tian in the chat says, you know, by deal a little bit more, do you mean Salas or DeVries? Because the Padres want Crochet or Skubal. One of those two would be included. I don't know if there's a mandate that they can't or won't trade those guys, or if it's possible one or both could be on the table for the right deal. But that is exactly what I'm talking about. Increasing your offer, you know, pot committing yourself a little bit more to this season rather than say, maybe it would be better to wait until next year when we could be healthier, when we could be in a better position than we are this year, and we'll have more time to develop those two guys, one or both of whom may turn out to be great Major League Baseball players, and we'll never know if we trade them now. Well, we might know, but certainly won't know in our organization.
But neither of those guys are rentals either. It's not just for this year.
Who?
Like Skubal, you have him for like three more years.
Yeah, yeah. Skubal and Crochet both have years of control left. So, yeah, but I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. I watched Ethan Salas, and I believe in Ethan Salas, but I really, Leo has moved to the top of the heap for me. After the July that he's had, after his slow start, watching what he's been able to do, he's an electric type player.
It feels a little like the Tatis path, you know, once he broke out in the minor leagues, it was watch out, this is a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Even more so than Salas at this point, just what he's been able to do and the eyes that he's opening in the minor leagues. Pretty impressive. We got to take a quick timeout. We will continue the Padres talk here for the previewing the series against the Washington Nationals.
Potential arm out there to go look at.
Yes. Some interesting news. 1 week away from the trade deadline in Major League Baseball in the NL West. We'll get to that coming up. Then in our 7 o'clock hour, Take on Woods and Don't Do This. And Jesse Agler a little bit earlier at 7:35 today, joining us from Washington, D.C. with the Incorporator. First appearance of the second half of the season for the voice of the Padres. First half of the show. And then second half of the show, we may have a chance to take some calls from Padres fans in our 8 o'clock hour Rindle Report. And we're going to give away some more Sebastian Maniscalco comedy tickets coming up at 9:20. So stay tuned for all of that. It's Ben and Woods. We'll be right back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If you think we spend our breaks talking about which pitchers the Padres might acquire at the trade deadline, we do.
Yeah. It like consumes me every year at the trade deadline.
I know that, I mean, the speculation is sometimes a little bit silly because we don't know any better than you do out there who A.J. Preller is actually talking to.
Or targeting.
Targeting, but you know he's talking to everybody.
Yeah.
He's targeting everybody. That's how he operates. So there's literally not one. I don't think there's one trade that could absolutely shock me anymore.
No.
I've been shocked a few times by A.J. Preller.
And Gunnar Henderson. It would shock me. Like, oh, the Padres acquire Gunnar Henderson.
It would shock you because you wouldn't ever think the Baltimore Orioles would
and they wouldn't
trade them. But, like, Max Scherzer, fine. He's found a creative way to make it work financially and work. I mean,
wouldn't surprise me at all.
Skubal, of course. Crochet, it could happen. The dozen other guys, 30 other guys. It's going to be hard to surprise me at this trade deadline.
The only thing that would truly surprise me is if we did absolutely nothing. That would be the one thing that surprised the hell out of me. They do nothing. They just totally stand pat.
And I think you're absolutely right, because there's no reason to do nothing
Correct.
At the trade deadline.
You can't do nothing.
In fact, there's an intriguing...
Has AJ Preller ever done
nothing?
Nothing.
There's an intriguing name out there where you basically don't have to do anything right now.
Yeah.
If you're interested, we'll talk about that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So yesterday, the Dodgers made a move that surprised some people.
Including a lot of Dodger fans.
When they designated pitcher James Paxton for assignment. And you think, well, what? He's probably had a... He's a veteran over the hill. He's had a rough season, right? Not exactly. He's 8-2 with an ERA in the mid-4. Certainly not a Cy Young Award winner. He's gotten tons of run support.
Tons.
But the Dodgers have done well in his starts, and he's been durable. He's made every start that they've needed him to this season. The only Dodgers pitcher to do so. He's a commodity that other teams would, you know, sell their pinky toe for. A pitcher, a durable pitcher, who's eaten a few innings every 5 days the entire course of the season and giving his team at least a chance to win in every game.
Funny you say that. Their record with him on the bump starting is 14-4. Now, again, the peripherals on James Paxton are not good. Now, when I was lying in bed the other night watching Dodgers-Red Sox, the recency bias bug crawled up my arm and bit me on the neck. I watched his start, and they were marveling at his start because for no reason. I mean, his fastball sits 93. He was pumping 96, 97 that night. And carved up a really good Boston Red Sox lineup. Just carved him up, and everything was working. So after his he had a really, really nice start early in the season, but after his best, most recent start, they sent him packing the next day because they've got Gratterall coming off. They've got Kershaw coming off. They had River Ryan.
Glasnow's coming back.
Glasnow's coming back.
So, tomorrow.
Again, not...
Buehler's should be coming back soon.
They have an embarrassment of riches as it stands. You know, and finally, they've had a lot of guys injured, but they've got guys coming back now. They just didn't have room for him. And so they DFA'd him, and it's a tough, you know, it's a tough business, man. I mean, the guy goes out and has his probably best start of the year, and he's out of a job the next day. But one man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, again, James Paxton is not the guy that puts this team over the edge. And if they pick up James Paxton and do nothing else, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. That being said, I watched his start. He looked nasty. He's made every start. He averages 5 innings per start in 18 starts. He's exactly at like 90 innings. So
he's somebody that can eat those innings that you don't want Michael King to be overused.
Well, and Paulie, 6-man rotation time, essentially, something to that effect. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a next level to James Paxton. I don't know that he's not, in my opinion, one of those guys that would come here and Ruben would say, oh, let me get him in the lab. And, you know, but I just know what I saw. I know I saw a guy going 4 miles an hour above his average fastball and looking quite comfortable doing it against a really good team. So I think you have to take a look at that.
The biggest argument against him is, of course, the Dodgers let him go.
Correct.
And why do you let a commodity that's worth anything just go if you had any faith in him? And that's a red flag. I mean, that's admittedly a big red flag on James Paxton.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, the Dodgers, as you said, just have no spot for him and too many resources at the moment.
And people comparing him to Dick Mountain, and Dick Mountain throws 83 miles an hour. You know, this guy was, again, I'm telling you, I watched it the other night. Again, I'm not saying, like, this is a guy that you have to have, but if you need somebody to eat some innings, he's cheap, and he's there, and he's healthy and ready to go.
The list of teams that are sellers is finally expanding a little bit. It grew by one yesterday when the Cubs essentially waved the white flag on the season publicly when GM Jed Hoyer said that any trades they make at the deadline will not be designed to improve the team the rest of this season, but they will be with an eye on 2025 and beyond, essentially saying, yeah, we are open for business, selling players, trying to acquire prospects, younger talent, guys with control beyond this year, to help us in the future, which is, you know, if I'm a Chicago Cubs fan and you went and spent the most money ever on a manager going into this season after a surprisingly winning season last year, it's not the news I was looking to hear in July. But because they did, those are now some names that are available. Not a ton of pitching names, but Jameson Taillon is kind of a starter that could be on the block. And then relievers, which the Padres need as well. Mark Leiter Jr., former top prospect, Hector Neris, and Tyson Miller are guys that are being mentioned as possible pitching trade chips from the Chicago Cubs.
And who were the ones you just listed when we went to break from the Texas Rangers?
So, yeah, the Rangers, they were talking about it as a team that's going to be very instrumental at the trade deadline. I had a few names, including old friend Kirby Yates was on that list. I think there was a couple of other relievers. Max Scherzer was on the list.
Andrew Haney
was on the list. There were some pitchers there for sure.
Yep.
So the Rangers are a team to look at, as well as the Cubs now, dealing pitching and looking like, you know, in a good spot with all the teams that need to acquire it. They're ready to perhaps, you know, try to cash in on something right now.
Do we not think that AJ Preller will add a Texas Ranger to this roster?
At some point, he gets far enough away that there's no one left in that organization that, you know, he used to know everybody, and he knew the ins and outs of the Texas Rangers organization. It's been 10 years since he's been there.
Yeah, I know, but we still add Texas Rangers whenever we can.
But it should be going less and less in the future.
You can say it should be.
There's no reason why AJ would have any more affinity for Texas Rangers at this point. I get it. The first 5-6 years, absolutely. But now, why would you have more affinity for the Texas Rangers?
Yeah,
I mean. The GM you worked with is gone.
I don't know why you would, but you could.
Gone. Just because they wore a Texas Rangers uniform makes no sense.
Sign them up.
But if they're available, I'm sure AJ's calling and asking about them. All right, now Padres opened their series against the Washington Nationals today, and I cannot, for the life of me, find a pitching matchup other than Randy Vasquez for the Padres.
Is that confirmed?
I couldn't find one.
I saw Randy Vasquez. Well, the Padres Schultz have confirmed there.
Vasquez.
He said it's Vasquez, Waldron, Cease for the first three games.
Okay.
So they're skipping over the number five spot thanks to the off day yesterday.
There is none.
And they're going to go with those three guys. Nationals, even today, website, nothing. Nothing listed. Nothing listed on ESPN. That's probably a good sign if you're the Padres.
They bring some kid up nobody's ever seen. We've seen how that's gone before. They go with a bolt. They go with an opener, a hard thrower. You know, it's just I always like to know what I can expect when I'm watching a game, but Davey Martinez being a little cagey right now, perhaps, Benny, or just really not having any idea what they're going to do. They may be working on trades and stuff as well. They're a team that's probably going to be sellers. So it's that time of year, man, where expect the unexpected is the best advice I can give you.
Now, we do know they'll be facing old Padres prospects and C.J. Abrams, who went to the All-Star game, and now James Wood, who was promoted just a couple of weeks ago, hit his second home run of the season on Sunday, a big one, a tie-breaking three-run shot to help the Nationals sweep the Cincinnati Reds. And they're doing a lot of James Wood features and pieces and talking about him. He's kind of the flavor of the moment, thinking this, you know, guy could be a big star for the Washington Nationals. So there'll be a lot of talk about James Wood in this series over the next 3 days, considering where he came from the San Diego Padres and the Juan Soto trade.
Sure, I'm excited to see him play. I've never, you know, I saw his like first AB at the big league level. Hopefully he doesn't torch us. But again, a guy with that kind of power in that lineup is a guy that you just try to avoid at all costs, right? You don't need to treat him like prime Barry Bonds, but a guy that has that much pop in his bat, that much slug, you know, pitch around him. Don't let him get you, you know, at the end of the day. So the rest of the lineup doesn't overly concern me. We've seen that.
Abrams had a really good series against the Padres, even though the Padres swept that series against the Nationals last month.
Yeah, he's an OPS of 819 right now. He's got 15 bombs. James Wood hitting 246, two bombs, 673 OPS. He's got 72 at-bats in his young major league career. And will we see Gore this week?
I don't know.
I'm assuming we will.
They have not, again, announced
anything
pitching so far for the series.
Okay.
So it remains up in the air what they're going to face.
All right. Well, I'll be ready.
Will we see any holdover from the fireworks that we saw at Petco Park
I can't imagine that there will be. I did see a Nationals fan tweeting yesterday something to the effect of, well, the players haven't forgotten, and I'm still, again, we laid it out nice and neat for you the next day. We never hit any of their players. We never, you know, we didn't do anything. We celebrated on our home field after a walk-off. That's what the
I'm
Padres
sure the Nationals
did
would love to celebrate on
yeah.
their home field.
And if they do, guess what I'll say on the air? Congratulations. Well done. Nice walk-off. I don't care if you look to the Padres dugout and give you the air thrust, man. You're at home. You know, especially if Robert Suarez comes in and goes 97 under somebody's chin, knocks him on his ass, then the guy hits a walk-off home run, have a ball, man. What a moment. Congratulations. You're at your home ballpark. Do whatever you want. But I thought it was squashed at the time, and I expect it to be squashed now. Now, listen, the first one that goes inside on somebody may start to get the haunches up a little bit, but I thought this thing was dead in the water. You know, we didn't go into the stands and scream at old people like they did when they were here. Jesse Winker just crapped himself the entire time he was here. And they took their eye off the ball when they were here in San Diego. They needed to win that series.
And the Padres
badly.
Have no reason for wanting to get any, I mean, revenge. No one thought that Mackenzie Gore actually threw at Jurickson Profar. They were just mad at the timing of it and the fact that he wasn't ejected.
I thought he threw at him.
You did?
Yeah.
100%. No doubt.
Unquestionably. And what better place
Mike
to throw?
Didn't
he?
Mike Schilt publicly
doesn't think he did. But I absolutely think he threw 96 at his ankles. I absolutely think he did.
Well, he did throw 96.
I think he did it on purpose. I think he did it on purpose. I don't expect any carryover. I really don't. I thought it was handled. I actually thought it was handled well after it all ended. Fine, no problem, move on. It's a good cautionary tale, right? Because when the Washington Nationals came in here, they were playing pretty well. And they 100% took their eye off the ball that entire series. And they let Jurickson Profar get in their dome for three games. And the Padres won them all. The Padres need to remember that this is a way more important series for them right now. Keep your eye on the prize. You don't have to hit anybody at all. Just try to win these ball games. That's the only thing that matters.
I did find they have announced a couple of pitchers for the next two games, just not today. So I will give you those, and we can play some Take on Woods when we come back with our second hour of Ben and Woods. Don't go away. More on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If you think we spend our breaks talking about which pitchers the Padres might acquire at the trade deadline, we do.
Yeah. It consumes me every year at the trade deadline.
I know that, the speculation is sometimes a little bit silly because we don't know any better than you do out there who A.J. Preller is actually talking to. Or
Targeting,
but you know he's talking to everybody. Yeah. And he's targeting everybody. That's how he operates. So there's literally not one. I don't think there's one trade that could absolutely shock me anymore.
No.
I've been shocked a few times by A.J. Preller.
And Gunnar Henderson. It would shock me. Like, oh, the Padres acquire Gunnar Henderson.
It would shock you because you wouldn't ever think the Baltimore Orioles would trade them. But, like, Max Scherzer, fine. He's found a creative way to make it work financially and work. I mean,
wouldn't surprise me at all.
Skubal, of course. Crochet, it could happen. The dozen other guys, 30 other guys. It's going to be hard to surprise me at this trade deadline.
The only thing that would truly surprise me is if we did absolutely nothing. That would be the one thing that surprised the hell out of me. They do nothing. They just totally stand pat.
And I think you're absolutely right, because there's no reason to do nothing.
Correct.
At the trade deadline.
You can't do nothing.
In fact, there's an intriguing...
Has A.J. Preller ever done
nothing?
Nothing.
There's an intriguing name out there where you basically don't have to do anything right now.
Yep.
If you're interested, we'll talk about that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So yesterday, the Dodgers made a move that surprised some people.
Including a lot of Dodger fans.
When they designated pitcher James Paxton for assignment. And you think, well, what? Probably had a... He's a veteran over the hill. He's had a rough season, right? Not exactly. He's 8-2
with an ERA in the mid four. Certainly not a Cy Young Award winner. He's gotten tons of run support.
Tons.
But the Dodgers have done well in his starts, and he's been durable. He's made every start that they've needed him to this season. The only Dodgers pitcher to do so. He's a commodity that other teams would, you know, sell their pinky toe for. A pitcher, a durable pitcher, who's eaten a few innings every 5 days the entire course of the season and giving his team at least a chance to win in every game.
It's funny you say that. Their record with him on the bump starting is 14-4. Now, again, the peripherals on James Paxton are not good. Now, when I was lying in bed the other night watching Dodgers Red Sox, the recency bias bug crawled up my arm and bit me on the neck. I watched his start, and they were marveling at his start because for no reason. I mean, his fastball sits 93. He was pumping 96, 97 that night. And carved up a really good Boston Red Sox lineup. Just carved them up. And everything was working. So after his he had a really, really nice start early in the season, but after his best, most recent start, they sent him packing the next day because they've got Gratterall coming off. They've got Kershaw coming off. They had River Ryan.
Glasnow's coming back.
Glasnow's coming back.
So, tomorrow.
Again, not...
Buehler's should be coming back soon.
They have an embarrassment of riches as it stands. You know, and finally, they've had a lot of guys injured, but they've got guys coming back now. They just didn't have room for him. And so they DFA'd him, and it's a tough, you know, it's a tough business, man. I mean, the guy goes out and has his probably best start of the year, and he's out of a job the next day. But one man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, again, James Paxton is not the guy that puts this team over the edge. And if they pick up James Paxton and do nothing else, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. That being said, I watched his start. He looked nasty. He's made every start. He averages 5 innings per start in 18 starts. He's exactly at like 90 innings. So
he's somebody that can eat those innings that you don't want Michael King to be overused.
Well, and yeah, Paulie, 6-man rotation time, essentially, something to that effect. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a next level to James Paxton. I don't know that he's not, in my opinion, one of those guys that would come here and Ruben would say, oh, let me get him in the lab. And, you know, but I just know what I saw. I know I saw a guy going 4 miles an hour above his average fastball and looking quite comfortable doing it against a really good team. So I think you have to take a look at that.
The biggest argument against him is, of course, the Dodgers let him go.
Correct.
And why do you let a commodity that's worth anything just go if you had any faith in him? And that's a red flag. I mean, that's admittedly a big red flag on James Paxton.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, the Dodgers, as you said, just have no spot for him and too many resources at the moment.
And people comparing him to Dick Mountain, and Dick Mountain throws 83 miles an hour. You know, this guy was, again, I'm telling you, I watched it the other night. I'm not saying like this is a guy that you have to have, but if you need somebody to eat some innings, he's cheap and he's there and he's healthy and ready to go.
The list of teams that are sellers is finally expanding a little bit. It grew by one yesterday when the Cubs essentially waved the white flag on the season publicly when GM Jed Hoyer said that any trades they make at the deadline will not be designed to improve the team the rest of this season, but they will be with an eye on 2025 and beyond. Essentially saying, yeah, we are open for business, selling players, trying to acquire prospects, younger talent, guys with control beyond this year to help us in the future, which is, you know, if I'm a Chicago Cubs fan and you went and spent the most money ever on a manager going into this season after a surprisingly winning season last year, it's not the news I was looking to hear in July, but because they did, those are now some names that are available. Not a ton of pitching names, but Jameson Taillon is kind of a starter that could be on the block, and then relievers, which the Padres need as well. Mark Leiter Jr., former top prospect, Hector Neris, and Tyson Miller are guys that are being mentioned as possible pitching trade chips from the Chicago Cubs.
And who were the ones you just listed when we saw when we went to break from the Texas Rangers?
So, yeah, the Rangers, they're talking about it as a team that's going to be very instrumental at the trade deadline. I had a few names, including old friend Kirby Yates was on that list. I think there was a couple of other relievers. Max Scherzer was on the list.
Andrew Haney
was on the list. LeClerc. There were some pitchers there for sure.
Yep.
So the Rangers are a team to look at, as well as the Cubs now, dealing pitching and looking like, you know, in a good spot with all the teams that need to acquire it. They're ready to perhaps, you know, try to cash in on something right now.
Do we not think that A.J. Preller will add a Texas Ranger to this roster?
At some point, he gets far enough away that there's no one left in that organization that, you know, he used to know everybody and he knew the ins and outs of the Texas Rangers organization. It's been 10 years since he's been there.
Yeah, I know. But we still add Texas Rangers whenever we can.
But there, it should be going less and less in the future.
You can say
there,
it should be. There's all
no
you want.
There's no reason why AJ would have any more affinity for Texas Rangers at this point. I get it. The first 5-6 years, absolutely. But now, why would you have more affinity for the Texas Rangers?
Yeah,
I mean, the GM you worked with is gone.
I don't know why you would, but you could.
Gone just because they wore a Texas Rangers uniform makes no sense.
Sign them up.
But if they're available, I'm sure AJ's calling and asking about them. All right. Now, Padres opened their series against the Washington Nationals today, and I cannot, for the life of me, find a pitching matchup other than Randy Vasquez for the Padres.
Is that confirmed?
I couldn't find one.
I saw Randy Vasquez. Well, the Padres Schilt have confirmed there.
Vasquez.
He said it's Vasquez, Waldron, Cease for the first three games.
Okay.
So they're skipping over the number five spot thanks to the off day yesterday.
There is none.
And they're going to go with those three guys. Nationals, even today, website, nothing. Nothing listed on ESPN. That's probably a good sign if you're the Padres.
I mean, you know, they bring some kid up nobody's ever seen. We've seen how that's gone before. They go with an opener, a hard thrower. You know, it's just, I always like to know what I can expect when I'm watching a game. But Davey Martinez being a little cagey right now, perhaps, Benny, or just really not having any idea what they're going to do. They may be working on trades and stuff as well. They're a team that's probably going to be sellers. So it's that time of year, man, where expect the unexpected is the best advice I can give you.
Now, we do know they'll be facing old Padres prospects and C.J. Abrams, who went to the All-Star game. And now James Wood, who was promoted just a couple of weeks ago, hit his second home run of the season on Sunday, a big one, a tie-breaking three-run shot to help the Nationals sweep the Cincinnati Reds. And they're doing a lot of James Wood features and pieces and talking about him. He's kind of the flavor of the moment, thinking this, you know, guy could be a big star for the Washington Nationals. So there'll be a lot of talk about James Wood in this series over the next 3 days, considering where he came from the San Diego Padres and the Juan Soto trade.
Sure. I'm excited to see him play. I've never, you know, I saw his like first AB at the big league level. Hopefully he doesn't torch us. But again, a guy with that kind of power in that lineup is a guy that you just try to avoid at all costs, right? You don't need to treat him like prime Barry Bonds, but a guy that has that much pop in his bat, that much slug, you know, pitch around him. Don't let him get you, you know, at the end of the day. So the rest of the lineup doesn't overly concern me. We've seen that.
Abrams had a really good series against the Padres, even though the Padres swept that series against the Nationals last month.
Yeah, he's an OPS of 819 right now. He's got 15 bombs. James Wood hitting 246, two bombs, 673 OPS. He's got 72 at-bats in his young major league career. And will we see Gore this week?
I don't know.
I'm assuming we will.
They have not, again, announced
anything
pitching so far for the series.
Okay.
So it remains up in the air what they're going to face.
All right. Well, I'll be ready.
Will we see any holdover from the fireworks that we saw at Petco Park?
I can't imagine that there will be. I did see a Nationals fan tweeting yesterday something to the effect of, well, the players haven't forgotten. And I'm still, again, we laid it out nice and neat for you the next day. We never hit any of their players. We never, you know, we didn't do anything. We celebrated on our home field after a walk-off. That's what the
I'm
Padres
sure the Nationals would love to celebrate on their home field.
And if they do, guess what I'll say on the air? Congratulations. Well done. Nice walk-off. I don't care if you look to the Padres dugout and give you the air thrust, man. You're at home, you know, especially if Robert Suarez comes in and goes 97 under somebody's chin. knocks him on his ass. Then the guy hits a walk-off home run. Have a ball, man. What a moment. Congratulations. You're at your home ballpark. Do whatever you want. But I thought it was squashed at the time, and I expect it to be squashed now. Now, I mean, listen, the first one that goes inside on somebody may start to get the haunches up a little bit, but I thought this thing was dead in the water. You know, we didn't go into the stands and scream at old people like they did when they were here. Jesse Winker just crapped himself the entire time he was here. And they took their eye off the ball when they were here in San Diego. They needed to win that series.
And the Padres
badly.
Have no reason for wanting to get any, I mean, revenge. No one thought that Mackenzie Gore actually threw at Jurickson Profar. They were just mad at the timing of it and the fact that he wasn't ejected.
I thought he threw at him.
You did?
Yeah.
100%. No doubt.
Unquestionably. And what better place
Mike
to throw?
Didn't
he?
Mike Schilt publicly
doesn't think he did, but I absolutely think he threw 96 at his ankles. I absolutely think he did.
Well, he did throw 96.
I think he did it on purpose. I think he did it on purpose. I don't expect any carryover. I really don't. I thought it was handled. I actually thought it was handled well after it all ended. Fine, no problem. Move on. It's a good cautionary tale, right? Because when the Washington Nationals came in here, they were playing pretty well, and they 100% took their eye off the ball that entire series, and they let Jurickson Profar get in their dome for three games, and the Padres won them all. The Padres need to remember that this is a way more important series for them right now. Keep your eye on the prize. You don't have to hit anybody at all. Just try to win these ball games. That's the only thing that matters.
I did find they have announced a couple of pitchers for the next two games, just not today. So I will give you those, and we can play some Take on Woods when we come back with our second hour of Ben and Woods. Don't go away. More on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.